All right, we'll say good morning. Good morning. It is a zechus, Baruch Hashem, to be able to learn with you. I want to thank Rabbi Richter for giving shir yesterday. And I'm sorry that I can't be there with you in person, but it is a great zechus, Baruch Hashem, at least to be able to learn together virtually. Today's daf is Samech Tes 69, and we are picking up at the two dots, Gufa. Says Gemara, Gufa, I'm Rabbi Yochanan. Gozov lo nesesha abaylim. So remember, also we had this Rabbi Yochanan quoted at the end of the Gemara about 10 lines up on the bottom on 68b. So Rabbi Yochanan said as follows: Gozov lo nesesha abaylim. Reuven steals an object from Shimon, and Shimon has not experienced yeyosh, meaning Shimon has not given up the hope of reclaiming and retrieving the object. What's the halacha? Shneim einim yocholu lahakdish. Neither Reuven nor Shimon have the ability to go ahead and be makdish the item. What's the logic? Zelefi she'enu shalo. So Reuven, the thief, can't do it. You can't be makdish. You can't consecrate something that doesn't belong to you. Vizelefi she'enu b'shuso. And Shimon, even though Shimon is the titular owner, but he can't be makdish it because it is not in his possession. It's not in his domain. Shimon says, so this is the position of Rabbi Yochanan. And again, a very intuitive position. Reuven steals an object from Shimon. Neither the thief nor the owner have the ability to be makdish it. The thief, because it doesn't belong to him. The owner, because it is not currently in his physical possession. Did Rabbi Yochanan really say this? But Rabbi Yochanan said that the halacha follows the Stam Mishnah. Remember again, a Mishnah, Stam Mishnah is a Mishnah without attribution. Generally, a Mishnah without attribution is considered to be somewhat authoritative because since it doesn't have attribution, it's usually looked at as being reflective of the majority opinion. So Rabbi Yochanan said, in general, the halacha follows the Stam Mishnah. And what does a Stam Mishnah? Utnan, we learned in a Mishnah, this is actually fascinating. Kerem Revai. So we're now going to see, interestingly enough, we're going to see that in the times of the Mishnah, so landowners would take certain precautions in order to prevent other people from transgressing. So for example, Kerem Revai, what's Kerem Revai? I have a vineyard. For the first 3 years of that vineyard's growth, it is Arla. Arla, no one is permitted to go ahead and consume, right? Fourth year of the vineyard's existence. So the halacha is essentially, in the fourth year, it's like Meiser Shein. In other words, I'm allowed to eat the produce of the vineyard in year number four, but it has to be consumed in Yerushalayim. So now here's what's interesting. So let's say now I have an orchard. So now again, here's my concern. My concern is that people are going to go ahead and pick off the vine. We're going to see which people. People are going to pick off the vine, and they're not going to realize that it's Kerem Revai. So right. So some guy walks by. He thinks he's just plucking off a grape. Meanwhile, he's plucking off Kerem Revai, and if he consumes it outside of Yerushalayim, it's a significant issue. So therefore, again, Kerem Revai. How you mitzainen also bikazuzos adama. So when a person had a field that was Kerem Revai, what they would do is they would go ahead and they would demarcate it with kazuzos, clods of earth. Look at the first Rashi on the top of the daf, kazuzos. Nosin pisas regavim sedivos hakvulim lo'odia shu Kerem Revai ba'asra b'lo pidyon. So again, if you would walk by a field and you would see that it was demarcated by clods of dirt, of earth all around it, you would know that was a simin. That's Kerem Revai, and therefore be careful with it. Now, why would they demarcate Kerem Revai with clods of earth? Ki adama, because Kerem Revai is just like earth. In what sense? Ma adama ikahano amine, just like adama, just like earth, you can get benefit. Now, Rashi fills in the blanks over here. Just like earth, if you go ahead and you plow the soil, and you plant, and you harvest, you'll be able to benefit. So therefore, again, af hai sutu Kerem Revai, if you go through the necessary steps, you will be able to benefit. In the case of Kerem Revai, the necessary steps are taking it to Yerushalayim. Avhai nami kimifraka, once you redeem it, in other words, either take it to Yerushalayim and consume it, or redeem it onto money, take the money to Yerushalayim and use it for food. Kimifraka, or I should say, just redeem it. Kimifraka, sharilis hanuye mine. Okay, so fascinating. So really, really, really very interesting idea. So therefore, again, I had a field, Kerem Revai. I want to make sure that no one inadvertently goes ahead and thinks that it's just regular grapes. So I demarcated clods of earth. They know, just like earth needs to be worked in order to be use it, so too this Kerem Revai needs to be redeemed in order to be able to consume it. Bishal Arla. Let's say I had a field of Arla. Same thing. I don't want people to inadvertently consume Arla. Bicharosis. They would surround a field of Arla with earthenware shards. The Gemara says, what's the logic there? So the Gemara says, simna kecharosis, ma charosis shein hanomine, just like an earthenware shard, it doesn't do anything, right? There's no benefit to be gained from an earthenware shard. So too, again, Arla, you can't get any benefit from it. So therefore, again, the Arla was like the earthenware shard. Incredible. V'shal kvaris. Let's say, again, a person wanted to demarcate a grave, both for a Kohen or for a Nazir, what would you do? So besid. They would go ahead and they would outline either, we actually saw this in Moed Katan, either they would actually mark the entire grave with plaster or with lime, or they would demarcate the area around it. So the Gemara says, why sid? Simna dechir katsamos, because the whiteness of the plaster of the lime was like bones. So that showed you that there was a grave over here. And if you take the lime or the plaster, you mix it with water, you pour that mixture around, it would become even whiter. Okay. Shigumil says, now what are we talking about over here? What are we talking about? And I will say, specifically, what's interesting to note is, in the cases of Karim Ravai and Arla, so what's happening over here is I am demarcating my field, right? In the case of Kerem Revai, with clods of earth, in the case of Arla, earthenware shards. Now, who am I doing this for and why am I doing it? Amr Shigun Liyab, when do you do this? Bishvias, the Hefkerninhu. So Rav Shigun Liyab comes along and says, okay, now this makes a little bit more sense. When do you do this? In a Shemitah year. Because in a Shemitah year, since everything is Hefker, that means everyone has the right to take from my field. So I want to make sure that they know that if they're taking something, what it is that they're taking. And if it's Arla, you know that you're taking Arla. Or if it's Karim Ravai, you know that it's Karim Ravai. However, again, Aval B'shar Yimei Shavua, but if it's not a Shemitah year, Bosses, listen to this. If it's not a Shemitah year, then if someone is coming and taking from my field, what is that? That's theft. So Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says, Haliteo l'rasha v'yamos. Literally, again, stuff the Rasha, stuff the evil person with the forbidden produce, and let him die. So that's another way of saying that if someone is going to steal from me, then I don't have to go out of my way to make sure to minimize your isser of theft, so that you should know that this is Karim Ravai, this is Arla. So when it's a Shemitah year and my produce is Hefker, so then I want to make sure that no one inadvertently transgresses with my produce because it's permitted to them to come and to take it. But if it's not a Shemitah year, that means you're a thief. If you're a thief, you know, whatever. Whatever happens to you, you know, you deserve it. You shouldn't have stolen to begin with. That's new, and now listen to this. It's new, and now it's interesting. We saw this before also. That tsnua literally means a modest person. Like tsnius means modesty. In this case over here, the tsnua is also a reference to tzadikim. So the tzadikim, manichen es hamaos, tzadikim, they go ahead and they put aside some money. Va'omrim kol hanilkat mizeh mechulal al hamaos halalu. So this is really incredible. So if you look at Rashi, so the tzadikim, the tsnuin, which also is interesting, why the Gemara describes tzadikim as a tsanua, as a modest person. We know, we understand it, because the truth is, there are so many attributes that go into being a righteous person, but none of them as important as modesty. Because when a person is modest, when a person is tsanua, modesty comes along with a sense of awareness. And ultimately, again, a person who is modest also understands that no matter how much they've achieved, there's still more to do, there's still more to accomplish, there's still more to grow. So modesty, when a person is modest, that is the key to greatness, to righteousness. Because if I'm arrogant, I think I know anything and everything. But if I'm modest, modesty, humility, they're two sides of the same coin. If I'm modest, then I recognize there's so much more I have to do, so much more I have to grow, so much more I have to accomplish, and that paves way for greatness. So the tsanua and the modest ones, so what would they do? They would go out and they would set aside some money. And they would say that whoever takes from the Kerem Ravai, right, ultimately, again, that should be redeemed onto this money over here. So the tzadikim, we'll say it's incredible. What's the difference between a tzadik and a regular person? So a regular person is hyper-focused on making sure that their own actions are the way they should be. There's not necessarily a concern for the other. Because at the end of the day, I've got my hands full with me. The tzaddik, is perpetually concerned with the spiritual welfare of the other. So for the tznuin, I understand that if it's not a Shemitah year and this guy takes my Karim Ravai, he's a thief. So maybe since he's a thief, I should say, you know what, whatever. Whatever happens to you. It's not my problem. But the tznuin are concerned. The tznuin don't want anyone else to transgress with their property, even though, again, the guy is a thief. So what would they do? They would leave out money. I mean, not literally. They would set aside money. and they would say whoever takes from the Kerem Revai, the Kerem Revai should be redeemed, the same Kerem Revai should be redeemed onto this money that's here. Okay, so the Gemara says, now what do you see from this? Look at Rashi, Kol Anilkot, it's right across in Tosos Charosis. So Rashi says, Kol Anilkot, Alma Afagav Delese Bershuse, Mafrik Vitofes Pidyono. Now the chap over here is, now let's play this out. So you have this tzaddik, you have this tzanua. He's setting aside money, and essentially he's saying that the Kerem Revai could be redeemed onto the money. Here's the only issue. The Kerem Revai is no longer in his possession, which means that according to the Mishnah over here, according to the Mishnah, you could in fact go ahead and redeem something even if it is not in your possession. So Nebuchadnezzar says, so now you see the Shaila, that ultimately, again, we just said, Rabbi Yochanan was on record as saying that if Reuven steals an object from Shimon, neither Reuven nor Shimon have the ability to be makdish it. Reuven, because he's a thief, it's not his. Shimon, because it's not in his possession. Yet, we say Rabbi Yochanan says that the halacha normally follows the Stam Mishnah. So here you have a Stam Mishnah that says that a person could go ahead and redeem his Kerem Revai, even if it's not in his position, right? Let's say I'm a tzaddik. Halavai, one day I'll be a tzaddik. I'm one of the tznuin. I have my Kerem Revai. I know that people are going to go ahead and take it. So I set aside some money, and I go ahead, and the Kerem Revai is redeemed onto the money. Well, the Kerem Revai is no longer my possession. Someone took it already. Right, someone took it already, but yet I'm able to go ahead and redeem it even though it's not in my possession. So according to the Mishnah, what does it sound like? You can affect status change in an item even if it's not in your possession. Well, this contradicts Rabbi Yochanan, and yet Rabbi Yochanan normally says Allah follows the Stam Mishnah. So how do we reconcile this? So here we go. V'chi tema, man tanat zon b'sheng amliel. So we'll say maybe this Mishnah actually reflects the Avir B'Shem Gamliel, right? B'Shem Gamliel was the one who qualified the statement, and he said ultimately again that all of this only applies in a Shemitah year, doesn't apply the rest of the year, So maybe this entire Mishnah is reflective of the Avir B'Shem Gamliel, and watch this. Rabbi Yochanan kin stam yichida lo amar. And when we say that Rabbi Yochanan holds like a Stam Mishnah, that's only if the Stam Mishnah reflects the view of a group. But if the Stam Mishnah is just reflective of a singular opinion, maybe Rabbi Yochanan doesn't hold that Stam Mishnah. But here's the problem. Last short line. We have another klal. The other klal is that whenever Rabbi Shem Gamliel is quoted, the halacha always follows him, with the exception of three cases. What are the three cases? Arev, Sidon, and Raya Achrona. All right, we're not going to get into those cases, but the point over here is halacha. So even if you want to say that the Mishnah is reflective of the view of Rabbi Shem Gamliel, that's the Stam Mishnah, the halacha always follows Rabbi Shem Gamliel. If that's the case, we still have our question. Rabbi Yochanan, you said that when something is not in your possession, you cannot affect a status change. So specifically, again, he said you can't be makdish it. But here, from this Mishnah over here, you see that you can affect a change in status. Because again, what's happening? The tzanua, the tzaddik, is redeeming Kerem Revai on money, even though the Kerem Revai is no longer in his position. Possession. So you can affect status change even with an item that's not in your possession. So what's going on? Amri, lo tema kala nilkat mizeh. So this is incredible. Don't read it as any Kerem Revai that was taken already will be redeemed on this money. Rather, how should you read it? Ella, so the Ella ima kol hamislaket mizeh. So this is fascinating. So the Gemara says, don't read it as, so in other words, when we read the Mishnah, we read that the tzaddikim would say, whatever Kerem Revai was taken already should be redeemed. No. This is not a retrospective statement. This is a prospective statement. This is the tzaddik gets up in the morning and he says, okay, any Kerem Revai that is taken, ultimately, again, will be redeemed onto this money. He can make that statement. Why can he make that statement? Because at the time that he makes it, the Kerem Revai is still in his possession. But did Rabbi Yochanan really say this? So tznuin, v'rabbi dosa amru davar echad. So Rabbi Yochanan said that the tznuin, the tzaddikim that we just mentioned before, and Rabbi Dosa, they are both of the same mind. Now, what did Rabbi Dosa say? V'rabbi dosa, so actually, take a look at Rashi first. It's actually a fascinating case. Rabbi Dosa, le'inyan leket kitzir kamayri, te'kaimo lon shnei shibonun leket, shlosha eno leket. Lefichach tzarech balabayis lahafgir. So this is fascinating. There's a halacha called leket. Leket means I'm a farmer. I am collecting, I'm harvesting my wheat. As I'm harvesting the wheat, I drop a stalk, right? Or I drop two. So the halacha is ultimately, again, if you drop one stalk or if you drop two stalks, that's leket. I, the farmer, can't pick it up. I have to leave that for the poor. If I drop three, that's not leket, and I go back, I'm allowed to go back and pick it up. Now, the problem we run into is that sometimes the paupers, the poor, who collect the leket, are not well versed in halacha. Well, if they're not well versed in halacha, they don't necessarily know that one or two is leket, but three is not, and they may end up taking the leket. So Rabbi Dosa says, therefore, what do you have to do? What do you have to do? So the Gemara says, Rabbi Dosa says, essentially, you have to be mafgirit. You have to make it hefker. So Rabbi Dosa says to the Balabas, if you know that you left behind three, either go and get it right now, but if you're not going to pick it up right now, be mafgirit. Be mafgirit. Why? Because if you make it hefker, you're doing your part in ensuring that the ani does not inadvertently transgress. When Rabbi Dosa said this, this is ex post facto. This is after the ani has already taken the grain, then ultimately, again, you make it hefker. So what do you see? You see, again, we're linking the tsinuin, the position of the tsinuin that we saw in the Mishnah with Rabbi Dosa. We wanted to suggest maybe the tsinuin, maybe what they're saying is, before anyone takes any karam rabbi, say any karam rabbi that will be taken is redeemed on this money. But yet here we're linking the position of the tsinuin with Rabbi Dosa. Rabbi Dosa is a retrospective declaration of, or retroactive declaration of hefker, right? Which means that the tzinun are also working ex post facto. So the Gemara says, And Rabbi Dosa ultimately, again, is speaking about making it hefker after the aniyim already took it. The sanya we learned in the Brayso, Rabbi Huda Omer, shachris balabayis omid va'omer kol sheyilke to aniyim hayom yeh hefker. So Rabbi Dosa, listen to this. Rabbi Huda says in the morning, again, everybody's in agreement, we don't want to create a stumbling block for the poor. And the poor often just don't know. One stalk, two stalks, three stalks. They see something on the floor. They kind of just assume that it's leket, and they take it. Rabbi Huda says, every morning, the balabas should get up and he should say, kol sheyilke tu aniyim hayom yehefker. Whatever the poor take today, it's going to be hefker. Rabbi Dosa, he says, le'ituse erev omer kol shelok tu aniyim yehefker. Rabbi Dosa says, you do it retrospectively. That in the night, you say, you know what? Whatever the aniyim took today should be hefker. Should be hefker. So I'm going to say, so now, pause here for just a second. So now, Rabbi Dosa is talking about a retrospective declaration. We said before, Rabbi Yochanan said before, that ultimately, again, Rabbi Dosa and the Tsinuin say the same thing, which means that when the Tsinuim are saying that you're putting out money and redeeming Karim Ravai, that's also retrospectively or retroactively. In other words, at the end of the day, you're taking out the money and you're saying whatever they take, ultimately, again, should be redeemed on this money. Again, if that's the case, then once again, this poses a question on Rabbi Yochanan. Because Rabbi Yochanan said that halacha l'maisa, you cannot affect status change with something that is not in your possession. But we clearly see here, both from the Tsnuin and Rabbi Dosa, that you can. To which the Gemara says, Ifuch, to Rabbi Huda, Rabbi Dosa, Rabbi Dosa, Rabbi Huda. So maybe you have to switch around the positions. Maybe Rabbi Dosa was the one who said in the morning, go ahead and make a proactive declaration. Whatever the aniyim take will be hefker. So you can do that because the item is in your possession. That was Rabbi Dosa, and Rabbi Huda was the one who said at night, you make a retrospective statement, in which case again, then if that's Rabbi Dosa, then maybe it makes sense to say that the Tsinuin also said, before anyone takes Karim Ravai, whatever Karim Ravai will be taken is redeemed onto this money. In which case, it's not a kash Rabbi Yochanan, to which the Gemara says, Amai apcha masnisa. So now you're changing around the braisa. Apcha Rabbi Yochanan, ve'matznuan Rabbi Huda amru davar echad. So I understand, if you're going to be changing stuff around, maybe change it around to say, change on Rabbi Yochanan's statement. Rabbi Yochanan should have said, the tznuan and Rabbi Huda both say the same thing. To which the Gemara says, So there's a different issue, right? The different issue is, the reason switching it around is not enough, is because Rabbi Yehuda, over here it sounds like Rabbi Yehuda holds of the concept of Breira, of retroactive clarification. V'shamirei Rabbi Yehuda ba'alma de'les le'breira. Yet Rabbi say, generally we have on record, Rabbi Yehuda doesn't hold of breira. Where does this come up? Disnan, Rabbi say, we learned in the Mishnah, Amud Bey, Samech Tasan Avei 69b. Rabbi say, really, we've seen this case actually a number of times. This is probably like the paradigmatic case that we generally talk about whenever we speak about breira. Halokeach ha'emi ben akusim. If a person purchases purchases wine from kusim, now remember, kusim, this is the whole discussion with kusim, do they keep mitzvahs, do they not keep mitzvahs, was it a good conversion, not conversion? One thing is clear, which is we assume that kusim do not tithe properly. So if you purchase produce from kusim, you have to retithe it. Now the case over here, Rashi points out, is halakha, so I bought wine from the kusim. Now obviously, it's interestingly enough, you see that the kusim are not treated totally like non-Jews, because otherwise it would be yayin nesach or stam yenom. So I'm allowed to purchase wine from them, but I do have to retithe it. The interesting case over here is, now remember, one more piece of information. You're not allowed to tithe on Shabbos, right? Because tithing on Shabbos, again, is like tikkun mona. It's like fixing something, and it's like a malacha. Again, which malacha exactly it fits into, mekach umemkar, makke bepatish, we'll leave that on the side. Point is, you can't go ahead and tithe on Shabbos. So here's the case. I bought wine from Kusim on Erev Shabbos, Ben Ashmosho, so at the twilight time, so I can't actively go ahead and tithe it. So what do, but yet, gotta have my wine. So what do I do? So listen to this. Omer, Shnei Lugin Shani Asa Lahafrish Harei Hein Truma. So I will say, here's what I could do. I could go and I could say, the two Lugin that I'm going to separate after Shabbos, they should be Truma. Asara, the 10 Lugin, Meiser Rishon. Tes, 9 Lugin, Meiser Sheni. So essentially what I could do is I could say, I'm designating all the different tithes, I'm designating them now, but I'm not going to separate them until after Shabbos. And it works. Umeichel v'shos v'ander Remer. Remer says it works. Rabbi Huda, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Shimon say that it's Osrin. Rabbi say, now what is this based on? Ultimately, again, this is based on Breira. This is based on, do you have the ability to rely on retroactive clarification? So again, according to Remer, the answer is yes. So as long as you verbally designate all of the different portions, on Matzei Shabbos, when I go ahead and I separate out the Trumas and Maestros from that wine, it becomes retroactively clarified that which I separated on Matzei Shabbos is that which was designated Erev Shabbos Bein Hashmashos. Rabbi Huda, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Shimon, on the other hand, we don't hold the Breira. Because we don't hold the Breira, you cannot rely on retroactive clarification. This whole thing does not work because when you drink the wine on Shabbos, you're drinking tevel, untithed produce, and you're not allowed to do that. So the point over here is, what do you see? Rabbi Huda doesn't hold the Breira. Yet beforehand, right in the previous Mishnah, we were relying on the fact that Rabbi Huda does hold the Breira. So what's going on over here? Army sof, amaika apris le lemas nisin, mishan nikash Rabbi Huda, Rabbi Huda. So at the end of the day, why would you be tempted to switch around the positions of the Mishnah? Ultimately, again, because otherwise Rabbi Huda's position is contradictory. Okay, so it's very nice that you have remedied the contradiction of Rabbi Huda and Rabbi Huda. What about the fact that we still have a contradiction? Now, even though you remedied that, we still have an issue of a contradictory position of Rabbi Yochanan. To which the Gemara says, Kashat Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Yochanan. Da'amrit Rabbi Yochanan, lo tema kola nilkot. So I will say, you're right. So according to Rabbi Yochanan, what you'll have to say is don't say kol hanilkat. Don't ultimately go ahead and say, and in other words, according to Rabbi Yochanan, it should not be a retrospective statement. Rather, kol hamislakeit, whatever will be collected. Whatever will be collected. Amo isle breira. So therefore, according to Rabbi Yochanan, you'll have to say Rabbi Yochanan does hold of the concept of breira. I v'hamar v'ha Rabbi Yochanan lesle breira. Rabbi Yochanan doesn't hold a Breira. So what's going on over here? The Amr of Asi, Amr Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan. How do we know Rabbi Yochanan doesn't hold a Breira? Listen to this. Ha'achin shechalku. So Rabbi Yochanan, listen to this. Yaakov dies, and Yaakov leaves behind three sons, Reuven, Shimon, and Levi. Rabbi Yochanan, he leaves them a whole estate. Right now, in this case over here, Yaakov did not determine which part belongs to Reuven, Shimon, and Levi. He leaves them an estate. They all go ahead and they split the estate. Listen to this. Ha'achin shechalku l'kuch hosein. Then I will say, here's the problem. When Reuven, Shimon, and Levi, so watch this. If you hold of Breira, retroactive clarification, then we say that whatever portion each son gets was the portion Yaakov, the father, intended for them to get. And therefore, again, they all acquire their respective portions. If you reject Breira, that means all the sons essentially are purchasers from each other, right? Because they all own every piece of the estate. Their ownership interests are intertwined. See if you hold the Breira, when Reuven gets his portion, Shimon gets his portion, Levi gets his portion, it's retroactively clarified that each one got the portion coming to them. But if you reject Breira, then the truth is their ownership interests are still completely intertwined, which means they're purchasing from one another, but once Yovel comes, umachziren ze lo ze bayovel. But Yovel comes, everything kind of goes back into the family pot. You know, everything goes back into the being a unified portion, and then once again, they could redivide. The point over here is, which is just an interesting Yerusha case, but the point over here is that Rabbi Yochanan himself doesn't hold the Breira. Elali Olam, so Rabbi say, rather what you have to say, Kol HaNilkat. Rather, Rabbi say, you have to go with the version of the Mishnah that says, ultimately, again, Kol HaNilkat, anything that really, it's a retrospective statement. A retrospective statement. So the Gemara says, V'Rabbi Yochanan Stama Achrina Ashkechan. Rabbi Yochanan apparently found a different Stam Mishnah. What was the different Stam Mishnah? Here we go, Disnan. Ein HaGonev Achar HaGanav Mishan Teshlumi Kefel. This is an interesting case. Right, watch this, Rabbi say. Let's say that Shimon steals from Levi, and Reuven stole from Shimon. Right, so Shimon stole from Levi. Right, Levi was the owner. Shimon stole from Levi, and now Reuven stole from Shimon. So watch this. So in Hagonev Acher Hagana Meshan Teshlumi Kefel. So Reuven, who is the thief who stole from the thief, he stole from Shimon who stole from Levi. So Reuven doesn't pay Kefel. Doesn't pay kefal. So the Gemara says, Ein agonev achar aganav mishalim teshlumi kefal. The Gemara says, Amai. So why not? So bishlam al aganav rishon l'mishalim. So I understand why Reuven doesn't have to pay Shimon. Remember, Reuven's thief 2, Shimon's thief 1. So I understand why Reuven doesn't have to pay Shimon kefal, because the pasuk says, V'gonev mi beis ha'ish v'lo mi beis aganav. Because ultimately, again, the pasuk says, we're talking about kefal, you stole an object from the home of the owner. From the home of the owner. Well, Reuven, thief 2, didn't steal the item from the home of the owner. Rather, where did he steal it from? He ultimately stole it from the house of thief number 1. So the Gemara says, Elo lebailim nishalim, but why not go ahead and still have to pay the owner? In other words, why shouldn't thief number 2 still have to pay the owner? So the Gemara says, Elo laf shmamina lefi she'eno shalo, veze lefi she'eno birshuso. Rather, what you have to say is like this. You have to say, Reuven doesn't have to pay kefal to Shimon, thief number 1. Why? Because it doesn't belong to Shimon. And he doesn't have to pay it to Levi, the owner. Why? Because Levi doesn't have possession of the item. So you see from here that halacha lemaisa, when an object is not in your possession, it cannot affect change of status. So therefore, again, Reuven, the second thief, ultimately has no sheiches to Levi, the original owner. Why not? Because Lamaisa, the object was not in Levi's possession at the time that Reuven encountered it. So because of that, there cannot be any kefal relationship between Reuven and Levi as well. Now Rabbi Yochanan understands this to mean, again, when something is not in your possession, you cannot affect a change of status. Now remember, Rabbi Yochanan therefore stated that halacha lamaisa, when Reuven steals from Shimon, neither Reuven nor Shimon have the ability to be makdish the item. Reuven, because it doesn't belong to him. Shimon, because it's not in his possession. So the Gemara says, "Umay chazes the azel basra histama le'avid ki has ki haistama ditznuin." Now, here's what's interesting. So now it turns out that we have two stam mishnas. The stam mishnah we just mentioned, which is gonev min aganav, right? Reuven steals from Shimon. Reuven thief 2 steals from Shimon thief 1, and Reuven doesn't have to pay kefal to anyone. And we have another mishnah. What was the other mishnah? That was the case ultimately again of the tznuin, the righteous, modest people, who even when a thief steals Kerem Revai, he doesn't want him to violate. So what does he do? He leaves out money. And afterwards he says, well, whoever took Kerem Revai, it should ultimately again be redeemed on this money. Now here's what's interesting. So that's the mission of the Tznuin. Sounds like you can affect change of status even when the item is not in your domain. Yet this mission that we just quoted of Agoniv Minaganov, thief that steals from a thief, says you can't affect status change when the item is not in your domain. So now the Gemara asks Rabbi Yochanan, why do you hitch your wagon to this Mishnah of Gonev Minagan of two thieves? Why not hitch your wagon ultimately again to the Tznuin? And therefore you could say based on the Tznuin that you can affect a change of status even if an item is not in your possession. To which the Gemara says, I'll tell you. My chazis the azil basra histama liyavet ki astama ditznuin mishum de mesayei leikra. That's also because we will say at the end of the day, Rabbi Yochanan has a pasuk that he feels backs up this assertion that you can't affect change of status when an item is not in your domain. What's the pasuk? Because the pasuk says, v'ish ki yakdish es beso kodesh la'ashem. So we'll say the pasuk of here is talking about that if a person goes ahead and is makdish his home, consecrates his home, ultimately, again, the consecration works. So the Rabbi Yochanan says like this, ma beso birshuso, af kol birshuso, just like your home is something that's in your rishus, your home, you own your home, it's in your domain. So to anything else that is in your domain as well, you have the ability to consecrate. So Rabbi Yochanan understands this is a model. In order to consecrate something, it has to be in your domain. Amra Abaye, Abaye says, I love the Rabbi Yochanan snuin. So if we pause here for just a moment, it seems to be that Rabbi Yochanan really has two things going to support his position. Remember again, Rabbi Yochanan holds that if you don't have an object in your possession, you cannot affect change of status. He bases it on two things. Number one, the Mishnah by the Tznuin, that again, they put out money and they said, again, whoever took the Karam Ravai should be redeemed. The sanctity should be redeemed onto this money, or should be redeemed with this money. So you see that you could affect change even if the item is not in your possession. I'm sorry, I said that incorrectly. Rabbi Yochanan has a Stam Mishnah of Gonev Minaganov, right? The second thief doesn't have to pay kefel either to thief number one or to owner. And owner, why? Because it's not in his possession. And he has a Pasuk. Good. So the Gemara says, Amr Abaye. Abaye says, Ilav der Rabbi Yochanan snuin, Rabbi Dosa, Amru Davar Echad. Had Rabbi Yochanan not said that the Tznuin and Rabbi Dosa were saying the same thing, remember again, Abaye said, Rabbi Dosa was the opinion that said that halacha lamaisa by the leket. In the evening, you could say whatever the aniyim took is hefker. So Rabbi Yochanan said that Rabbi Dosa and the Tznuin and the Tzadikim in the Mishnah are saying the same thing. Both of them allow you to affect change of status even when the item is no longer in your possession. So the Gemara says, I would have thought Tznuin isluhu d'Rabbi Dosa, Rabbi Dosa lesluhu d'Tznuin. It's interesting. Rabbi Abaye says, I would have thought that the Tznuin certainly agree with Rabbi Dosa, but maybe Rabbi Dosa doesn't agree with the Tznuin. Why not? Listen to this. Tznuin is lud Rabbi Dosa, so the Tznuin certainly agree with Rabbi Dosa. Uma beganav of the Rabbanan takanto aniyim tzuichel neymar. You know, because again, I will say, the Tznuin will say like this, if we're going to go out of our way to make sure that Rishon, that a ganav, right, is not a thief. Remember again, the Tznuin is going to say, even when someone steals my Kerem Revai, I don't want them to be in violation. So if we're going to go ahead and bend over backwards to ensure that even a thief is not, right, he still has liability for theft, but at least again, he's not going to have the Kerem Revai liability, then all the more so, the halacha is going to make sure that the poor don't transgress as well by making everything in the field hefker, everything on the ground hefker. However, so the Gemara says, the tznuin is Rabbi Dosa, ma bekanav avdu rabbanan takanta aniyim tzuichel neymar. However, Rabbi Dosa, let's know the tznuin. Maybe Rabbi Dosa doesn't hold the tznuin. After Rabbi Dosa could say, aniyim hu da'avdu rabbanan takanta. When do the rabbis go ahead and make sure that someone doesn't transgress? That's like an ani, where an ani is not looking to transgress. The ani is just looking to take his tithe. So that's when we would say that halacha l'maisa, we're going to make everything that the ani ended up taking is hefker, so that he shouldn't chas v'shalom transgress on theft. Aval ganov, lo avduli rabbanan takanta, but maybe by a thief, we say, you know what, who cares? Let the thief transgress. He stole Karam Ravai. Why do I have to make sure that he didn't transgress Karam Ravai? Let him transgress, right? He made his bed, let him sleep in it. So now, it's only now that Rabbi Yochanan said, that Rabbi Dosa and the Tznuin said the same thing, that we see that in fact they would both agree with one another. That halacha l'maisa, what they're both rallying around the same core principle, which is that you can affect change in an item even if the item is not in your domain. So pretty amazing. Okay, so the Gemara goes back to Amar Rava. Rava says, Ilav den Rabbi Yochanan snuin, Rabbi Dosa amru davar echad. So Rava says, were it not that Rabbi Yochanan said that Rabbi Dosa and the Tznuin said the same thing or are rallying around the same principle, Hava mina, I would have thought, man tana tznuin, who is the opinion reflected in the possession in the position of the Tznuin? Rabbi Meir, both say first wide line. It's Rabbi Meir. No, now what did Rabbi Meir say? The Gemara says, Rabbi Meir, he lav amar Rabbi Meir, meiser mamon gavuahu, vafilu hachi le'inyin pediyah, ukme rachmona birshusei. Karzavos, listen to this. Rabbi Meir said, Meiser, Meiser is considered to be the possession, ultimately, again, of Kodesh, of Hegdish. And yet, for redemption purposes, even though it's not owned by me, for redemption purposes, it's in my possession. Dechsev, ve'im ga'ol yiga'el ishmi ma'asro, chamishiso yosef alav. So the pasuk says as follows. The halacha is that if you redeem your ma'aser sheni, ultimately, again, you're allowed to redeem it, of course, right? And the sanctity transfers onto the money, but you have to add on an additional fifth. See, here's what's interesting. The ma'aser doesn't really belong to me. The ma'aser really belongs to Kodesh, to the Beis HaMikdash, right? It's just that I have the right to redeem it. So what do you see from here? You see from here that there's a concept that even if something doesn't belong to you, like from a titular perspective, you don't have title, you don't own it, but la ma'aser, you still may have the ability to redeem it. So the Gemara says, it's really interesting. So the Gemara says, Kayi Rachmana Ma'aser Umosif Chomesh. So ma'aser, you see, the Torah, even though it belongs to Kodesh, but the Torah still calls it my Meiser. My Meiser, why? Because I have the ability to redeem it. So therefore, I would say, Kerem Revai Nami, Gamar Kodesh, Kodesh V'Meiser. So too by Kerem Revai, I should make a Gzera Shava, Ksiv Hacha, Kodesh Shilulim. It says ultimately over here, by Kerem Revai, Kodesh Shilulim, Uksiv Gabi Meiser, V'chol Meiser, Aris Mizera, Aris Mipriya, Eitz, La'Hashem, Hu Kodesh, Ma Kodesh, Tichsiv Gabi Meiser, Afa gav demamon gavahu le'inyan pediyah ukmi rachmana b'shusay. So again, I make a gzir shavav kodesh kodesh from Meiser to Kerem Revai. And I would say that just as by kodesh by Meiser, ultimately, again, it's not mine. It does not belong to me. I don't have title over it. Yet again, for redemption purposes, it is in my possession. Afhai so to me by Kerem Revai kodesh nami dechsev gabe Kerem Revai. It says kodesh by Kerem Revai also, and I'll say as follows. Even though, again, the Kerem Revai doesn't belong to me, nevertheless, for redemption purposes, the Torah put it in my rishos. The ki ise birshusei nami ha lav didehu v'ha matzi machil mishum hachi matzil machil. So we'll say this is fascinating, right? Salocha l'maisa, maybe Kerem Revai and Hekdish are a little bit different. Why? Because even though they don't belong to me, at the end of the day, the Torah puts it in my, again, by Meiser Sheni, we see that even though it doesn't belong to me, the Torah puts it in my possession for redemption purposes. We'll then make a Gzer Shavav Kodesh Kodesh, ultimately again from Meiser Sheni, to Kerem Revai, to say just like Meiser Sheni doesn't belong to me, but I have the ability to redeem it, so too Kerem Revai doesn't belong to me, but I have the ability ultimately to redeem it. Let's go back just a second. So the Gemara says, Gabe Kerem Revai, Afa Gav Delav Mamun Deibos. I'm sorry, I read it a little bit quickly. We are 2, 4, 6 lines up from the bottom of the daf. So by Kerem Revai, Afa Gav Delav Mamun Deidehu, even though Kerem Revai doesn't belong to me, Le'inyan Achule, in terms of redemption, from a redemption perspective, Ukme Rachmana Birshu Sei. Let the Torah goes ahead and puts it back in my possession. Daha ki ise birshusei nami ha lav didehu va matzi mechel mishum haki matzi machel. Now listen to this. Aval gabe leket kevan demamone didei. So we'll say maybe. So Gemara's pointing out something very interesting. Maybe here's what's unique about Meiser and Kerem Revai. Those two items, they don't belong to me. They don't belong to me, right? They belong ultimately, again, to even though I have the right to consume it, it's not considered my property. So maybe there's a unique feature by things that I don't own that I have the ability to redeem them even if they're not in my possession. However, watch this. Aval gabe leket, kevan dimamona didei. But leket, leket is mine. Leket is mine. As much as I have to give leket to the poor, I own title to it. It's considered to be my position. I just have to give it to the poor. Maybe only when it's in my possession do I have the ability to mafkir it. So this is an interesting distinction. Maybe something that you never really have title to, that's where HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives you the right to change status when it's not in your possession. But saying that you do have title to, i.e. for example, leket, the only way for you to be mafgirit is if it's actually in your possession. Ravina said, Ilav dam Rabbi Yochanan snuin, Rabbi Dosa amru davar echad. So Ravina says, were it not Rabbi Yochanan said that the Tznu and Rabbi Dosa said are of the same position, namely that you could affect change of status with an item that is not in your possession, Hava Amina Man Tana Tznuin, I would have thought, who is the opinion of the Tznuin, or who agrees with the Tznuin? Rabbi Dosihi. It would be Rabbi Dosa, right? Again, Rabbi Dosa, remember, Rabbi Dosa was the one who said that Halacha Maisa by the Leket case. In the evening, you say whatever the Aniyim took ultimately should be Hefker. So I would have thought that it's Rabbi Dosa, just the opposite. I would have said, had Rabbi Yochanan not said that the Tznuin and Rabbi Dosa said the same thing, I would have thought, man tznuin. Let me read this once more. Ilavdar Rabbi Yochanan tznuin Rabbi Dosa amru davar echad. Word not Rabbi Yochanan said, sorry, going a little bit fast. Word not Rabbi Yochanan said that Rabbi Dosa and tznuin are saying the same thing. Asili Gemara says, have a mina man tana tznuin. Rabbi Dosa hi ki hechi dlo tikshi stam mishnah Rabbi Yochanan. I would have thought, ultimately, again, who is the opinion of the tznuin? Rabbi Dosa. In order that, what does that do? That prevents, ultimately, again, the stam mishnah from posing a question to Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan bosai tapavayim. Rabbi Yochanan kestam yichida lo amar. And ultimately, again, Rabbi Yochanan doesn't hold like a stam yichida. It doesn't hold like a stam mishnah that is attributable to only one opinion. Okay, so I'll say. So we're gonna stop over here for today. I just want to mention halacha lemaisa. We paskin like Rabbi Yochanan. So remember again, we are first introduced to Rabbi Yochanan on Samech Ches Amud Beis. Rabbi Yochanan says gazel velo nisyaishu abaylim shneim einim yicholin lahakdish. Right. So remember, Rabbi Yochanan stated his position in this case. Reuven steals an object from Shimon. Right. So now Reuven is the thief. Shimon did not yet have yeush. So therefore, again, I'm going to say halacha lemaisa. Shnehen emin yecholun lahakdish. Neither of them have the ability to makdish the item. The thief can't do it, right? Reuven can't do it. Why? Zeh lefi she'en shlag. It doesn't belong to him. Vezeh lefi she'en abirshusel. And ultimately, again, Shimon can't do it. Even though Shimon is the owner, Shimon can't do it because it's not in his possession. Now, the chiddush over there is, even though Shimon didn't have yeush, right? So Shimon still is the titular owner. He owns the object, but at the end of the day, it can't be makdish it ultimately because the object is not in his possession. So I will say, the Rambam paskins like Rabbi Yochanan, that you cannot affect a status change in something that is not in your possession. So in this case, again, Reuven the thief can't be makdish it because it's not his. Shimon the owner can't be makdish it because it's not in his possession. You cannot affect change in something that is not in your possession. And I will say, there's a tremendous Musar Haskel in this as well. What's tremendous Musar Haskel? In life, there are two different types of circumstances. There are things that we can change and things that we cannot change. And the reality is, the great challenge of life is focusing our energies on the things that we can change and not focusing or dispersing our energies on the things we cannot. Yet the irony of the human condition is we often spend so much time focusing and perseverating over the things we cannot change. And we totally ignore the things that are right in our hands to change. So I will say, halach lemaisa, how do we pass? Rabbi Yochanan says, you can't affect change in something that is not in your possession. So therefore, stop trying to do it. And that's true not just halach lemaisa, but it's true hashkafa lemaisa. You can't affect change in things that are not in your possession. You can't control other people. You often can't control circumstances. But here's the beauty of the beauty of life is there are so many things that are in your possession. There are so many things that are in your sphere of influence. And those are the things, and those are the areas in which you can affect change. Stop worrying about the things you cannot change and start using your kochos to affect change over the things within your sphere of influence, within your sphere of control. We pass like Rabbi Yochanan, not just halacha lemaisa, but hashkafa lemaisa. Tremendous shkach. I look forward to seeing everyone in person. Have a great day.